The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Lots to get to after a busy weekend in the news. Right up front, I just want to tell all of our listeners and viewers that if you're watching, given what's been happening since Friday in particular, I think we're going to have to prepare to move the audience over to the trumpet.com live stream there. We'll go with YouTube for as long as we can. But they're in the midst of quite a crackdown, and it's taken our last two videos a little bit longer to go through the approval process with YouTube. So we'll see how much longer it lasts, but just so that you know, and we'll periodically run the lower third that you can see there on the screen right now through this program so that you know how to quickly switch over. You can just go to the trumpet.com website, go to the homepage, and then you do the /live. So the trumpet.com/live, that will take you right to the live stream on the trumpet.com website. It doesn't have quite as many bells and whistles as YouTube. We're working on that, by the way. But at least you can get the live presentation. So that's something that we'll want to keep in mind going forward because, we're in the midst of a purge. This is probably the greatest attack on American free speech in U.S. history. And it's coordinated, as we'll see, with some of the clips that I have for you today. It's a coordinated attack. And it all follows on that letter from the Obamas, Michelle Obama, to be precise. You had the Capitol Hill protest on Wednesday. Michelle Obama writing to Big Tech on Thursday. And then Friday, the purge. The purge begins. And it starts with President Trump. Someone on Twitter was saying how that, what was it, two years ago, when there was the ban on, I think it was Alex Jones, and there were not too many people defending him. They thought, well, he is pretty out there. He's pretty crazy. But if you start with Alex Jones, where does this lead? Where is it going? And then just a year or so later, it's the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, 88 million followers on Twitter. 88 million. And you go to his Twitter feed Friday night, and it's totally blank. 11 years of history, all of the links, everything gone, right down the memory hole. Everything gone. They had their chance. Congress did. We've talked at length in recent weeks about the weak Republicans. Even when they had Republican majorities, even when they could do something about Section 230, they didn't do it, did they? And now look. And how many of them, by the way, I didn't get a chance to watch too much news over the weekend, but how many of them were out there in full force defending free speech? You hear them talking about, oh, Chris Christie. Well, if this isn't an impeachable offense, I don't know what is. Donald Trump's to blame for what happened on Wednesday. He's responsible. Never mind 7 months. 7 months of rioting across the United States. Nobody's responsible for that in the Democrat Party. In fact, AOC encouraged it. She said, if you're uncomfortable with this violence, if you're uncomfortable with these protests that erupt in rioting and burning and looting, well, you should be. That's the whole point. They endorsed it. They encouraged it. They joined it. In some cases, mayor of Minneapolis, mayor of Portland, they got out there with Antifa. And then they saw right away just how much contempt Antifa had for these city mayors. And here we are, January 6th, 2021, and it's all President Trump's fault. I think this was Dinesh D'Souza. He tweeted, so tell me again, is Donald Trump the tyrant taking away our liberties? It's a good question to ask. Is he the tyrant? Is he the authoritarian? Is he the one taking away our liberties, our freedoms? Well, judging by the last few days, you'd have to answer that with a resounding no. He's been pretty much, you know, off the grid. There's not too many people that know what he's doing. His daily schedule, it says the same thing for the last few days. He can't tweet. He gave the one video message, I guess it was Thursday. And since then, not a lot. Not a lot that we know of. I'm sure he's busy. I'm sure he's doing something. But who's taking away the liberties of ordinary Americans? Parler. People were fleeing Twitter because they didn't want to get blotted out. And now Parler's. Parler's doesn't exist right now. They're scrambling because Amazon came in and said, you're not going to be able to use our servers. It's not just a Twitter feed. Keep this in mind. Then you had all the stories about Apple saying, well, they're not going to be able to use our apps. And then Google saying the same thing. And then Amazon comes out and says, look, we're not even going to let them use our servers to build their websites. So the website's gone. Now Parler's doing everything they can to get back up and running. But as you'll hear from some of the clips I play later, you know, when Amazon's supporting it with hundreds of servers, how do you replace that in a moment's notice? They had 24 hours to prepare. 24 hours, and they're gone. And then you have Jack Dorsey of Twitter. He's out there gloating because his competitor's struggling. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. It sure seems like the radical left has overplayed their hand. They're no longer in camouflage. They have come out and they've shown themselves who they are. And this, keep in mind, we're 10 days away from a Biden presidency. This is all happening while President Trump is the president of the United States, while Donald Trump is in office. What does that mean? What would happen a few months into a Biden presidency? What would happen 2-3 years into a Biden presidency? This was in the Trumpet back in October. And you'll recall as you're reminded of this quote, that this is something my father was talking about in 2016, 2017. My father says, Barack Obama's deep state would have blotted out America's constitutional republic and replaced it with a violent dictatorship if he had not been stopped by an end-time King Jeroboam II. Now, you can read that paragraph back in October and think, wow, I mean, I certainly agree that Barack Obama, the Antiochus administration, is evil through and through. But, I mean, would that have really been the end of the constitutional republic? Or when my father said that back in the Saving America article in 2018, if Hillary Clinton would have gotten in there, that would have been the end of the constitutional republic. And people could have easily scoffed at statements like that. But look at where we are now. Look at what's happened just in the past 3 days. Who's stealing? Who's blotting out our liberties, our freedoms? Is it Donald Trump? Or is it the radical left? My father said the trumpet could not deliver God's warning message in a CIA surveillance state. So God had to raise up President Trump to temporarily halt what the devil was doing through the Obama administration. I mean, now we see this happening. It's all around us. It is all around us. President Trump, he's supposed to be the most powerful man in the world. And yet look at how much power these big tech fascists have to just blot it out. Twitter, 88 million followers, scrub it. Send it down the memory hole. And then all of his followers flee to Parler. And what does Amazon do? They scrub it. They blot it out. You're not going to work on our servers. No way. So you don't even have a website. You don't have an app. You don't have a website. You don't have followers. You have nothing. And that's just happened in the span of a few days. And as I say, we're not even into a Biden presidency yet. We're not even there. What does your Bible say? For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. It was very bitter. God saw the affliction. Think about the affliction of Israel. In Amos, I think it's chapter 5, it says that we ought to be grieving for the affliction of Israel. Think about this affliction. It's very bitter. It says, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. There was no one to help. I mean, you look at this now, and that's where the president is. He has no help. He has no support, not even from his own vice president. It says, and the Eternal saw, or rather said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And so we have to look to God for intervention. You look at this affliction, and look, it's spearheaded primarily by the Antiochus administration. And it is an administration. Barack Obama leaves back in 2017, and what does he do? He moves three miles down the street. And he's got Valerie Jarrett coming in, his top personal aide. She comes in every day. She's still working. I would imagine Ben Rhodes is associated with him still somehow or another. The shadow government, it continues. And you have this violence on Capitol Hill after 7 months straight of it. And not one politician on Capitol Hill did really anything of substance. No one even spoke out about it on the Democrat side. And Michelle Obama writes one letter, and these conservative voices, they're silenced. They're silenced, just like that. And Parler is left to try to rebuild a website. This is from Michelle Obama's letter last week. This was on Thursday. She said, now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior. Monstrous behavior. You had all of these federal buildings coming under attack for 7 months. They tried to burn down the building in Portland, a federal building, a government building. And yet they get into a government building in D.C. And it is the capital, of course. It's the seat of democracy. But then you look at some of the, besides the areas where there was outright violence, you look at the doors that were just swung open by the police. Here, come on in. Come on in. We'll let you in. And there were the police standing down. If it was such a dangerous situation, why didn't they keep the doors locked? Why didn't the police resist? Something doesn't add up. You know about the Antifa infiltration. There were certainly Trump supporters involved in the violence, too. It was a mixture. But something does not add up. As I said last week, we'll probably learn more and more details about it as we go. Here's Michelle Obama. This monstrous behavior, she says. That's how she sees Donald Trump. And go even further than they have already by permanently banning this man. Let me just back up. Now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior and go even further than they have already by permanently banning this man from their platforms and putting in place policies to prevent their technology from being used by the nation's leaders to fuel insurrection. Now, she's not even in a political office. She's never been in a political office. She was the first lady. Nobody voted her in. She has no power, no authority whatsoever, at least according to the people. Donald Trump has 88 million Twitter followers. 75 to 80 million people voted for him. And did you see the Rasmussen poll where after January 6th, his popularity is actually on the rise. That's right. It's actually on the rise. So what do the people think about the Twitter ban? She comes in, sends one letter. She's a former first lady. And I mean, those big tech fascists, they fell right in line. No hesitation. The letter comes Thursday. He's banned from Twitter on Friday. And then that was the first domino to fall. You talk about liberties coming under attack. You talk about authoritarianism. Where is it? What has President Trump done, aside from saying to the press, you're the enemy of the people? What has he actually done? He comes out in front of the press when they despise him and hate him every single day. Now, maybe he hasn't had as many press conferences of late, but I mean, this has been one of the most accessible presidents in U.S. history. Right out there in front of the camera, right out there in front of the press pool, talking virtually every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And yet those same journalists would have you believe that he's the tyrant, he's the authoritarian, he's the fascist. The spirit behind this, so intense. Friday, January the 8th, the purge begins. 11 years of tweets just erased, blotted out. All the links to past tweets. None of them work. None of them work. And the account, you can look at the account. It's just, I don't even think you can get to it now. But Friday night, it was just blank. Just entirely blank. This is a list of some of the companies that have either banned or suspended in some way Donald Trump's businesses or his communications, his social media efforts. Reddit, Twitch, Shopify, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Apple, Discord, Pinterest, and Stripe. He's the president of the United States. The president of the United States of America. And of course, it hasn't stopped with President Trump, Mike Flynn, Sidney Powell. They've been expelled from several platforms. Many other conservative authors, journalists, commentators. They've been noting that they've lost, in some cases, tens of thousands of followers. I forget which politician it was that tweeted out. Just a picture. All these Democrats, they're increasing their followers by thousands. And then these Republicans, they're losing Twitter followers by thousands. And the comment was, this is how you create an echo chamber. They just want the conservative ideas and commentary blotted out. They want it out. They want it erased. They want it gone. And so that's what they're doing. For Twitter, the final straw was President Trump saying that his followers would still have a giant voice in the future. And then he commented on one of his last tweets that he would not be attending the inauguration on January the 20th. So Twitter decides that, well, these comments, they have to be read in the broader context. I mean, look at what's happening. Look at what happened on January the 6th. This, judging by the media coverage, this was the greatest attack on the United States of America, I guess, ever. I guess January 6th, a day that will live in infamy. These people that are saying, oh, I was frightened, I was terrified on 9/11, but now it's even worse. Really? This is worse than 9/11? Have you lost your mind? That was the final straw for Twitter. They said, well, this kind of thing, it can motivate violence. So we've got to take it down. Mozilla, that's the internet provider that I use. I guess I need to look for something different. They say that deplatforming is not enough. Donald Trump, his movement, they have to be monitored. all across the internet. Who is the authoritarian? Who's the tyrant here? Is it Donald Trump? Has he been the one to squash free speech? Not hardly. That's the president of Mozilla, Senator Dick Durbin. He introduced legislation that will classify MAGA rallies as domestic terrorist activity. You think that's going to set well with the Trump supporters? A terrorist activity? And again, this comes, I know I sound like a broken record. All of these people, totally silent last summer, as American cities burned, as America's small businesses were destroyed. Not one peep. You see, it's not enough to get rid of Donald Trump. We've got to, his supporters, they've got to repent. One was asked yesterday, Mike Mulvaney, he's on one of the Sunday shows, and the reporter says, how could you have gotten it so wrong about Donald Trump? I mean, how did you misread him so bad? Why did you work for him? He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. He's unhinged. He's crazy. Just a regular old Sunday show. It's not enough to get rid of the president. You've got to get rid of, or at least insist upon widespread repentance throughout the Trump movement. Here's the radical left now. Now, suddenly, they're interested in the subject of repentance. John Brennan, as I say, the gloves are off. These are not statements. These are not statements suggesting that, okay, it's over. January 20th, there's a new administration. We need to come together. We need to heal. Nothing like that in these comments. Brennan tweeted yesterday, anyone now seeking national redemption by claiming to no longer support Trump must acknowledge how wrong it was to ignore and enable his corrupt, dishonest, and divisive agenda. It says total denunciation of a despot's legacy is necessary to eradicate any remaining malignancy. It's a cancer. So we've got to get rid of his followers too. We've got to ban his supporters too. Now, since he's out the door, we've got to concentrate on the movement. How can we eliminate this cancer from our midst? The ABC News political director, he said getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Now we've got to be busy about cleansing the movement he commands. What in the world are we witnessing? We are witnessing 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27. It's a bitter affliction. It's a bitter affliction. And the Jeroboam administration, Jeroboam has no help. No help. It's going to take the hand of God. It's going to take a miracle from God to intervene and to save Israel temporarily, but to save Israel from this communist takeover. It's just astounding. And again, you wonder just how far, if they've gone too far. You know, in the court case over Mystery of the Ages, we've drawn attention to some of the parallels with the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages, and you can read Raising the Ruins to go back through that history, the miraculous victory that God gave to us in 2003. But it was early on in that court case, 1997, when Joe Dukach Jr. came out with his book, Transformed by Truth, and there was a footnote at the end of that book where he said, it's our Christian duty to keep these writings out of print. And here again, we thought, well, you're saying we have abusive government. Who's the real authoritarian here? Who's the real fascist trying to bury truth, trying to bury free speech? Cast the truth to the ground, like it says in Daniel 8. So let me tell you, once he wrote that in his book, I mean, we let every lawyer, every courtroom, everyone involved in that litigation know about what Joe Jr. thinks about the content in Mystery of the Ages. and how totally un-American it was and how unconstitutional it was. Oh, you have a Christian duty? You're calling on your Christian faith as an excuse to keep the truth buried. Now, they didn't see it as the truth, but we did. And who were they to say, you can't read this material? You can't study Mystery of the Ages? You wonder if we've reached the Christian duty moment with respect to the radical left. They think it's a done deal. They think Biden's going to be coronated on January the 20th. And so the purge has begun. And they keep talking about what happened January the 6th because they don't want you to think about or to talk about election fraud and how shameful it is for some of these senators like Kelly Loeffler and Mr. Lankford from right here in Oklahoma to see what happens on January 6th and then immediately to say, well, I mean, I can't contest the election now. I can't object to the election results now. I guess the facts of that case changed because there was a little bit of violence on January the 6th. I guess because there was a violent protest, we now have to say, well, you know, November 3rd, we can't really even go there now. We just have to surrender. And look at the forces that they're surrendering to. You had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's on the news over the weekend talking about this attack, as she sees it, this insurrection, and how violent it was, and how nearly half of the people in the House of Representatives died because of it. Yes, in fact, that's what she said. This is clip one.
We have to understand that what happened on Wednesday was insurrection against the United States. That is what Donald J. Trump engaged in, and that is what those who stormed the Capitol engaged in. And so when we talk about healing, the process of healing is separate and, in fact, requires accountability. And so if we allow insurrection against the United States with impunity, with no accountability, we are inviting it to happen again. That is how serious it is. And we came close to half of the House nearly dying on Wednesday.
She's serious. Half of the House. Now, you take away the Capitol Hill policeman that shot that Trump supporter in the neck. Remember that? Take that away. I believe the other three that died had a medical condition on top of whatever the circumstances were that caused their death. And, of course, we don't read much or see much about the circumstances causing their deaths. She says nearly half the people in Congress, or at least in the House, nearly died. They just came so close to dying in that. The Viking hats were taking over. The insurrection had taken control of the Capitol. For 4 hours, it was under lockdown. This is the same woman that tweeted just barely a month ago. She said the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. That's the whole point. She said later, to folks who complain protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point, said AOC. That's the point. We want to make you uncomfortable. We want to make you squirm. And if it results in violence, look, it's because of the greater violence that's been perpetuated upon the minorities of the United States of America. So it's justified. It's justified. Who can forget a lot of people actually have. That deranged gunman, the Bernie Sanders supporter that shot up the softball field and nearly killed Steve Scalise and others. And the media, they gave that a little bit of coverage, but I mean, they were moving on within a day or two. Nothing to see here. Never mind. Never mind. If it's a gunman going after Republicans, that's a non-story. But in this case, well, it's going to go on for as long as they can possibly make it go on because they don't want you to think about election fraud. They don't want you to think about foreign actors meddling in the election of the United States. They don't want you to think about all the evidence that was just about to come forward on January the 6th. This was a coordinated attack spearheaded by the devil himself because, as I said last week, the devil hates to be exposed. And he was being exposed, and he still will be. He still will be. We know this because of 2 Kings 14. We know this because of Amos 7. Look at this footage, by the way. This is, again, I know there were areas around the Capitol where it was violent, where there were skirmishes between Trump supporters and the Capitol Hill police. But in this footage, you'll see right away at the first part of this footage, you'll see a whole line of policemen just standing off in the distance, okay? Then the doors open, they let Trump supporters in, and then off to the right, you have these police officers just standing there. Just standing there, just letting them in, basically showing them the way. And then right at the end of this footage, the protesters, they make their way to the rotunda and then first thing, they pull out their phones and they start snapping pictures. It's the War of 1812 we're talking about. Look at this footage closely, clip two. And you notice the cameraman there, he's just kind of walking around, getting some pictures. On the feed, I was watching Wednesday when it was unfolding and all the crowds outside. I saw a jogger running his way through the crowds. He was huffing and puffing and sweating a little bit. A jogger running through the riot, the worst riot in American history. Cameramen, police stepping aside. There's some strange things happening here, and the truth has not been covered. The truth has not been covered. What of all these reports of the police just kind of ushering them in? Here you go. Here's the door. There's the steps to the rotunda. This is not the War of 1812. Far from it. This has been sensationalized so that it can be used as a pretext to amass more power, as I said last week, and so that it can be used as an excuse to try, even with 10 days left, even with supposedly just 10 days left in this presidency, to try to forcibly remove Donald Trump from office. Here's Chris Krebs. He's the one that totally botched the cybersecurity in the lead up to the November 3rd election. And he's out there still. Now he's calling upon the president to step down. Now he's calling upon the president to resign. Now he's calling upon the president to be removed. Clip three.
But there is an opportunity here, I think, to prevent further bloodshed. And I don't know if the president's capable of doing it, but he has to resign. He has to tell his supporters that he lied to them, that this was all his own fraud. He has to come out. We have to set an example for the rest of the free world that attempted coups, which is what this was, will not be tolerated. And I think at this point, particularly after Wednesday, the president's legacy is a heap of ashes. There's nothing redeemable at this point, given the fact that he incited this attempt to overturn democracy, a fair and free election. There is an opportunity, though, for a redemption story. Again, he can resign.
He can resign, says the guy that got fired because he was incompetent. That's the truth. He was more actually than incompetence. He was one of the players. All the activity going on in the lead up to it, the mass mail-in voting and so on, the faulty Dominion machines, he just turned a blind eye to it. Because he wants Donald Trump out. Even with 9-10 days to go. Nancy Pelosi, she's on 60 Minutes last night. course, last week, she, by the way, she had her laptop taken in that protest on January the 6th. And it'll be interesting to see who got their hands on that laptop. We'll get into that later this week, perhaps. But she either this is the most, as Andrew Miller was telling me, either this is the most impatient woman in the world, can't wait 9 or 10 days, or she's afraid. She's afraid of something. They are worried. They are worried that a bomb is about to drop, figuratively. They're worried that they're about to be exposed. She's there last week. She's telling Mike Pence and the cabinet of the president, look, you need to invoke the 25th Amendment. He's mentally unstable, which he isn't. But you need to get him out. You need to force him out. And then there's the calls for him to resign, like you just heard from Krebs. And then now the articles of impeachment. Nancy Pelosi and her people, they've been working on these articles all weekend. They're to be introduced today. He's got to be impeached. And I guess convicted before what, next Wednesday? Is that even possible? I think some commentators have said no, it's not even possible. So why go through this? Then they talk about impeaching him after he's out of office. Is that possible? No. But that doesn't, it doesn't matter. It does, the rules, the Constitution, the law, none of that matters. He just needs to be, this woman, Nancy Pelosi, she actually called the Pentagon to try to trigger a military coup. She called the military of the United States. Look, is there anything we can do to try to take over, to just get him out of the White House and to start anew? Who is the authoritarian here? Where are the tyrants? The tyrants are in plain view. You can see what they're doing. The Bible says judge by fruits. So look at the fruits. Look at what big tech is doing. Look at what Nancy Pelosi is doing. And what has Donald Trump done? There are those urging him to take more dramatic and powerful action, like with the Insurrection Act. And there was some speculation on the internet over the weekend as to whether or not he's already invoked that. We'll soon see. But where are the abuses of power? It's something to think about when you consider these words and then, of course, look at the actions. This was Nancy Pelosi last night on 60 Minutes, clip 4.
Well, sadly, the person who's running the executive branch is a deranged, unhinged, dangerous president of the United States. And only a number of days until we can be protected from him. But he has done something so serious that there should be prosecution against him.
And in fact, that woman is dangerous and unhinged. And so are her colleagues in the Democrat Party. She went on to say this, clip 5.
There is a possibility that after all of this, there's no punishment, no consequence, and he could run again for president.
And that's one of the motivations that people have for advocating for impeachment.
Won't that take more than the 10 days? I mean, does it actually make sense?
Well, I like the 25th Amendment because it gets rid of him. He's out of office. But there is strong support in the Congress for impeaching the president a second time.
So she said there that the motivation for impeachment is so that he doesn't run again. They don't want to ever see Donald Trump again. They want to purge the movement, as I covered earlier. This is their motivation. They fear him because he exposes them. They fear him because he confronts them. They fear him because he fights against them. And they're not used to that. They're used to people like Mitch McConnell and Ben Sasse, ones that will just surrender. They're not going to cause any. They're not going to make any waves. They're just going to let the radical leftists do what they want. They'll destroy the Constitution if you need to. We'll just stand by. And then you hear their speeches, like Mr. Sasse pontificating, just loving to hear himself talk about all of his knowledge, about all that he understands regarding history and the Constitution. And meanwhile, these people across the aisle are shredding it. They are shredding it. And they won't fight for it. They won't fight for law. They won't fight for justice. I'm going to get into some verses in Amos, the book of Amos, later. I was studying that over the weekend. And what God has to say about justice in that book. And you look at the example of just one individual that will stand up for truth and justice. And God backs that kind of attitude. God backs that kind of courage. Even though Donald Trump is a flawed human being, but so am I. We all are. But will we fight for the truth? Will we defend justice? Will we stand up for what's right? We should. We should have the courage. Jesus Christ would do that. He wouldn't cower in fear. He wouldn't say, "Oh, well, I guess there was a protest that resulted in some violence. So the facts change. I've changed my view." And poor Kelly Loeffler. She waited and waited and waited before she finally then said, "Well, okay, I'll object to the election results," because she knew it. If she didn't say that, she probably wouldn't get voted in. She didn't get voted in anyway because more cheating happened. That's the truth of it. That was last week. Then she gets up after the protest and says, "You know what? I said I would object. I said I would object, what, 48 hours ago? 24 hours ago? And I've decided in light of these protests, you know, the facts changed. And really there was no election steal. There was no election rigging." Weakness. Weakness on display. It's like Isaiah 3. Every day you see it everywhere. God's taken away. For the most part, he's taken away leadership and strength and eloquence, the eloquent orator, the mighty warrior, and so on. You can look at that in Isaiah 3 on your own time. One last clip here from Nancy Pelosi last night, clip 6.
"I don't know what the Russians have on President Trump, whether it's personal, whether it's political, whether it's financial. I don't know what it is.
You think they have something on them.
But there's no other explaining why this president of the United States is such a handmaiden of Putin."
Yeah, he's just a stooge of Putin. Russia, Russia, Russia. It's all Russia, Russia, Russia. 4 years, 5 years of this, and they've never changed. They don't repent. If they're proven wrong, they just go right on, you see? You think surrendering to this kind of a mob, that somehow that's going to yield some pretty positive results for the country, for the United States of America? Here, that totally bogus claim has been thoroughly refuted, disproven. And she's on 60 Minutes last night saying that President Trump is a handmaiden of Putin. The media have been telling us for 3-4 days now that he is the worst. The entire country is appalled. The entire country is shocked. They can't believe that he would incite a riot. And what does the Rasmussen poll tell us? Well, his approval rating, I think it was something like 46 or 47 before January 6th. Now it's pushing up to 48-49%. It's actually increasing. Not a huge increase, but it's trending upwards. How could this be, given what they're saying on CNN and at the New York Times? Given what Ms. Pelosi said on CBS last night, how could this be? Well, I think there's plenty of Americans that are looking at what's happening, this big tech purge, and they are shocked and appalled at our First Amendment rights disappearing right before our eyes. The greatest attack on free speech in the history of the United States. Parler, I mentioned a little bit about that Twitter alternative at the start of the program. As of this moment, as of this morning, Parler no longer works, and who knows how many days or even weeks it'll be before they're able to get their own servers and set up their own website on their own platform where they're not dependent on anyone like Amazon to host their material. They're scrambling, as I say. The CEO of Parler, he was on, I think this was Maria Bartiromo, her Sunday show yesterday morning. And listen to him as he describes what his company has gone through over the weekend, clip 9.
Well, it's devastating is what it is, and it's an assault on everybody. I mean, they all worked together to make sure at the same time we would lose access to not only our apps, but they're actually shutting all of our servers off tonight, off the internet. So they made an attempt to not only kill the apps, but to actually destroy the entire company. And it's not just these three companies. Every vendor from text message services to email providers to our lawyers all ditched us too on the same day. And they're trying to falsely claim that we were somehow responsible for the events that occurred on the 6th.
Parler's to blame for what happened on the 6th. Donald Trump is to blame. He said it's not just these big tech companies, Google, Apple, Amazon. He says it's every vendor from text message vendors. He says he's lost his lawyers even. So the ripple effect of this, these are people, again, you have weak, you have cowardly people that will not in any way stand up to Apple or Amazon or Twitter. And so they abandon Parler. And meanwhile, President Trump's approval rating just continues to increase. Is it because of attacks like this? You know these kinds of attacks would happen under a radical leftist presidency. But as I said at the top, we're not even at that point yet. And yet this is what they're doing in the last days of Donald Trump. The way they see it, Trump's about out. So let's start carrying out our agenda. The gloves are off. Their true intentions, it's now there. I mean, it's clear for all to see. This is the CEO again. His name's John Mates, by the way. He said this yesterday, clip 10.
We're going to try our best, you know, to get back online as quickly as possible, but we're having a lot of trouble because every vendor we talk to, you know, says they won't work with us because if Apple doesn't approve and Google doesn't approve, you know, they won't. And they've given us no legitimate remedy. They've tried to, you know, ask us for, you know, to cooperate with them on a few things. We've tried to give them everything that they wanted, you know, of course, without sacrificing our principles. But there were remedies to do it, and they just don't care. They just don't want us on the Internet. They just want to get rid of us.
They just don't want us on the Internet. Doesn't that make you be awfully proud to be an American? They just don't want Parler on the Internet. It's just stunning, isn't it, how coordinated this is. Michelle Obama sends the letter on Thursday. And then all they're like robots in big tech. There's not one conservative among them. They're all in lockstep. They all react immediately. They all respond to the Antiochus administration immediately. One last comment from John Mates, clip 11.
Yes, Amazon is the largest cloud storage vendor in the world, and we use them to host our servers, you know, hundreds of servers. And they gave us basically, they said, you have 24 hours to get all of your data and to find new servers. So, you know, where are you going to find 300 to 500 servers in a 24-hour window, and how can you send all of the data from everybody out to them in a 24-hour period? It's an impossible feat that, you know, we're going to handle as best we can to get back online as quickly as possible. But, you know, there's just some things that are almost basically impossible.
That's the CEO of Parler describing how difficult this process is going to be just to try to get back up online, just to try to rebuild his website with his own servers. Well, all of this, a massive distraction away from the evidence of wrongdoing, the evidence of election fraud. There was a piece, I don't have time to get into it. It was at the American Thinker. Conceding defeat to fraud is not patriotic. It's not patriotic to surrender to these fascists. It's not patriotic to concede defeat when it was stolen. You've got to keep fighting for the truth. I'll just conclude this segment with one scripture. This is 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, where it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper.'" That's our foundation. That's our strength. God says, believe the prophets. Believe what they say, and you'll prosper. God will work out everything. And what did I read at the start of this segment? 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27. It says, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter." It was very bitter. He saw it. He saw how bitter it was. It says, "For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." That's 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 27. Put your faith in God. Believe the Eternal God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. A couple of emails to conclude with. This comes in from Florida. It says, "I read your article with tears in my eyes." This is referring to one of the trumpet briefs from last week. It says, "I read your article with tears in my eyes because I see the path the United States is taking with Biden's win. I try to keep the faith and what you say will happen, but what if people in Congress don't repent?" It says, "President Trump is fighting against very dark forces in the media, Congress, and so many people of this nation who hate him. Maybe the last 4 years was our wake-up call, but people seem to be more evil than I ever imagined." Says President Trump definitely opened a lot of eyes to the corruption in our government, including mine. I keep praying for President Trump to expose the evil, but it seems like he's losing hope and abandoning all of his court cases against fraud. I can't really blame him after all he's gone through the last 4 years and just since November 3rd and so on. Many people know it was fraudulent. It says, if President Trump is unwilling to fight any longer, then how can God use him? Well, we'll see, I suppose, this week and next, if he's unwilling to fight anymore. This is from the UK. It says, "It goes without saying that without the TDRS, with all the hard work you and your team put into every program, there would be no hope for anyone really wanting to know the truth as to what is playing out in the United States." It says here, even writers that have graced the auditorium are showing disdain for the president of the United States and falling in with the majority. I assume he means Senator Lankford. He's been in the auditorium before. Caving in along with the majority, not wanting to be classed as anti-democratic supporters. It says they once had a saying that they would follow the evidence and not be afraid of the consequences. Wow. Just follow the evidence and don't be afraid of the consequences. It says, "Today I read part of an article written by someone who has now fallen short of their principles. Thank you for the hard work you have shown in bringing the truth to your listeners. I pray that your mentioning of the church having its own platform will become a reality soon and that more people will be able to hear the truth about what is going on, not only in the United States, but around the world." Well, just to remind you, that trumpet.com live stream, you can get there now. It looks like there's 26, 27 people watching the live stream over at the Trumpet. You can just go to the trumpet.com homepage and then type in, as you see on your screen there, /live, and that'll take you right to the live stream of this program every morning. And we hope in the next few days to add a few bells and whistles that will allow for you to watch the playback and pause, fast forward, that sort of thing, like you're accustomed to being able to do on YouTube. That's all that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.